Please come back to order. Please stand for the invocation by Chaplain Father Herbert C. McMurty of the Holy Trinity Episcopal Church.
Let us pray. Almighty God, by your grace we live in a state whose beauty, resources, and opportunities are beyond our grasp and understanding. Deliver us, we pray, from the tyranny of trifles. May we give our best thought to what is important, that we may accomplish the heavy work that faces us. May your Holy Spirit be present with us, that we may be spared from the indecision that wastes time, diminishes our peace, reduces our efficiency, and multiplies our troubles. In thy holy name we pray. Amen.
Senator Zaroff, would you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Will the Secretary please certify the journal?
I wish to certify as the correctness of the journal for the first legislative day in Senate Supplement Number 8.
Senator Taylor.
I ask unanimous consent the journal and supplement be approved as certified by the Senate Secretary.
Without objection, so ordered. That brings us to introduction of guests. Are there guests for introduction? Senator Duncan.
Thank you, Mr. President. I will introduce a student intern is working in my office this year from the University of Alaska Fairbanks, and I think he is major is journalism in Senator Miller's gallery, Arthur Hanchett.
Further introduction of guests? If there are no further guests for introduction, that brings us to messages from the governor.
Message dated January 10th. Dear Mr. President, in accordance with AS 3905080 and Article 3, Sections 25 and 26 of the Alaska Constitution, I submit the following name for legislative confirmation of appointment to a position noted. University of Alaska Board of Regents, Scott A. Otterbacher Palmer, student. The resume for this appointment has been submitted to the offices of the Senate Secretary and the House Clerk. Sincerely, Walter J. Hickel.
That will be referred to the HESC Committee for recommendation.
Those are all the messages from the governor this morning, Mr. President.
Messages from the House?
There are no House messages.
That brings us to communications. Senator Taylor?
Did you have something she wanted to do first?
Do you have any communication? Senator Taylor?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. President. At this time, I'd move that we have a brief recess for the purposes of accommodating a meeting of the Committee on Committees in the Butrovich Room.
Okay,
before we... unanimous consent.
Senator Duncan, announcement before the recess, or a question on the recess? Yes. He announced the Committee on Committees meeting and moved the recess. Right. Without objection, we're recessed. Will the Senate please come back to order? I believe we were under communications. Do we have any communications?
There are no communications this morning.
Reports of standing committees?
There are no standing committee reports.
Reports of special committees?
Report dated January 11th, 1994, Committee on Committee Reports. Dear Mr. President, your Committee on Committees has met and submits the Senate for its consideration the following change to the original Committee on Committees report dated January 11th, 1993. Rules Committee, Senator Helford replaces Senator Jacko as chair. Report was signed by Senator Helford, chair, Senators Pierce, Jacko, and Taylor. Senator Zaroff signed no recommendation.
Senator Taylor?
I move that the Committee on Committees report dated January 11 be adopted.
There's a motion to adopt the report. There is objection. Senator Duncan?
Thank you, Mr. President. I just wanted to ask a couple of questions for clarification. What would have seemed to have been a normal approach, however, might have been to have the vice chairman of the committee assume the chairmanship. As I recall, vice chairman, I haven't looked, maybe I'm wrong, vice chairman was Senator Rieger, correct? Mm-hmm. And I was just wondering if there was any explanation from the chair of the Committee on Committees as to why that procedure wasn't followed.
I think that was strictly a workload question. As you know, Senator Rieger is deeply involved in the health care issues. He is chairing a standing committee, and he is also on the Finance Committee. He is one of our key players and has a lot to do. It was felt that, as a matter of workload, it would go this way. Further explanation would be debate, and I don't want to do that.
Sure, and I always kind of assumed that the Senate presidency should carry a workload also, but maybe it doesn't. Mr. President, I guess the other question I would ask you, and I think is a legitimate question to be asking, is one of that folks have some concern with. Of course, the Ethics Committee report yesterday very clearly indicated, and the letter of resignation from the former chairman indicated he would no longer be chairman. I think this body, at least the minority members of this body, would like assurances that that the duties are actually transferred to you as chairman of the committee, and that it's not just you as chairman of that committee as a figurehead only, and that many of the responsibilities and decisions will be made by the former chairman. That's a legitimate question to answer, and it's a concern that we have, and I would like you to
It is a legitimate question. That will not be the case. I have asked the former chairman if I could borrow a member of his staff for a transition to train someone to help me, but that is the only transition there will be. Senator Ellis.
Thank you, Mr. President. I objected to the motion before us, and I'd like to explain why. I felt like this was a great opportunity for the majority to turn over a new leaf. I was hoping there had been a New Year's resolution to live up to the uniform rules and treat the minority in a fair and honorable manner. This was a perfect opportunity to redress some of the grievances that that the minority had last year regarding fair treatment under the proportional representation rule for minority representation on committees of the body. Especially the Finance Committee. As you've heard from us time and time again, the rules have been violated by this majority, and I was hoping, in addition to just making this this switch that was fully expected to take place today, that you all would try and correct some of the wrongs that have been committed by the majority in the past. I'm disappointed that didn't occur. It's, you know, business as usual, I guess. I thought we could to turn over a new leaf this year and get on with the public's business in a fair and honorable manner. So I'm sorry that you all missed that opportunity.
Further debate? Senator Lincoln?
Mr. President, would you explain again, please, how the staffing is going to work, since staffing goes with the chairmanships of committees, an additional responsibility as chairing the committees? I wasn't too sure of your response earlier on staffing. Then is the former chair of rules going to lose staffing because he no longer has that chairmanship position?
I don't intend to debate from the chair. I explained the transition question to the minority leader because I think it's a legitimate question in terms of where the committee decisions are made, but I'm not going to go through staff allocation questions, and I really am not, I can't answer detailed questions or I'm engaging in debate. Senator Little?
I believe that is a question that probably needs to be answered today, but just briefly I wanted to make another statement, Mr. President. There was discussion yesterday about disenfranchisement of our constituents, and I believe that minority members in this body, our constituents are being disenfranchised because Rule 1E is not being followed in this state Senate as required by the uniform rules. I, too, am saddened that the Committee on Committees chose not to address this issue again this year, and feel that an injustice has been done, and once again, disenfranchisement has occurred regarding minority members' constituents. Thank you.
there further debate? Senator Duncan?
Call the Senate.
The Senate is under a call. Members, please stand at ease while the call is satisfied. Will the Senate please come back to order? I believe the call has been satisfied. Senator Duncan.
Thank you, Mr. President. I think it's worth making one further statement on this, and especially since some of our members brought up Rule 1E and the lack of representation that the Democrats in this body had on the Senate Finance Committee last year. I think that should be well understood by the public who was in charge of the Finance Committee last year. Democrats were not. We were not on finance, with the exception of one member who was, of course, outvoted many, many times. And the budget crisis, the overspending, the lack of regard for the Constitution, the Constitutional Budget Reserve, was done by the majority on finance. And I just want to be sure that was clear for the record.
Senator Phillips.
Mr. President, I think that before we open our mouths, we ought to check our own voting records about spending the Constitutional Budget Reserve account, because we're all guilty of it.
Let's bring the debate back to the motion before us. The minority leader's comments were not really on the motion. The response was not particularly on the motion. Senator Donnelly, on the motion before us.
Oh, on the motion before us, but before I get to that,
members,
I did vote against 4 out of the 5 big spending bills last year. The only one I voted for was education. So I don't think I'm guilty of raiding the fund there. Yeah. I don't think it's a healthy consolidation of power within the Senate to have the same individual holding both the presidency and the chairmanship of the Rules Committee, Mr. President. I know the Senate is a very small body. It's the smallest legislative body in the United States, and as such, there's a lot of job duties that have to be doubled up, especially when it's an 11-9 split for majority-minority. But I still, these are two, with the two finance co-chairs, most crucial positions in the legislature, in the Senate, and I've never heard of this being done before. I certainly think there's an awful lot of work and responsibility goes with these positions. This is certainly nothing personal in any way whatsoever. I wouldn't matter anybody I can conceive of. I couldn't think of a single individual that I know that I would want to put that much responsibility on as holding both those positions, because it really is a dynamic that has never been tested before in the history of the Senate that I know of, and I don't think it's precedent anywhere else in American legislative history either that I can remember. It just doesn't seem like a very wise and prudent thing to do. There's other folks here that could serve. I think the vice chair would be very, very well adapted at serving that position well. There's other folks in the majority, I'm sure, could do a good job of that. And it just doesn't seem like a very wise thing to do at this time to have a single individual hold two of the most important positions in the Senate. I'm certainly looking forward to a new rules chairman, because I didn't think the old one was very fair. But at the same time, and I certainly think you would do a fair job, I just don't think it's a wise idea to consolidate those positions.
Further debate? The question before the Senate is, shall the Committee on Committees report dated January 11th, 1994 be adopted? Members may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Would the Secretary lock the roll? Does any member wish to change their vote? Would the Secretary take the roll? And the roll shows 11 yeas, 9 nays. So the Committee on Committees report dated January 11th, 1994 has been adopted. Do we have further reports of special committees?
No, Mr. President.
Introduction of Senate resolutions.
There are no Senate resolutions.
Introduction of Senate bills.
Senate Bill number 240 by Senator Pierce, an act relating to an optional municipal tax credit for cost of certain river habitat protection improvements?
CNRA Resources and Finance.
And those are all the bills for introduction this morning?
That brings us to consideration of the daily calendar.
Citations honoring Jan Ross, Senators Taylor, Jaroff, Duncan. Honoring Dr. Suzanne Somerville, Senators Lincoln, Littlejar, Frank, Pierce, Gratula, Ellis, Duncan. In memoriam, Pete Sesslin, Senators Taylor, Jaroff, Adams, Gratula, Lehman, Duncan, Lincoln. In memoriam, Franklin D. Fleeks, Senators Lincoln, Sharp, Miller, Frank, Gratula, Duncan. In memoriam, Agnes Schlotfeldt, Senators Helford, Lincoln, Kelly, Pierce, Sharp, Adams, Miller, Frank, Rieger, Gratula, Lehman, Duncan. In memoriam, Chief Walter Northway, Senators Lincoln, Jacko, Adams, Little, Pierce, Sharp, Helford, Jaroff, Miller, Frank, Rieger, Ellis, Lehman, Phillips, and Duncan.
Senator Taylor?
Yeah, first I'd ask unanimous consent that I be allowed to add my name to the memoriam on Chief Walter Northway.
Without objection, Senator Taylor will be added to Chief Walter Northway's citation.
And I would move and ask unanimous consent then that the citation calendar be approved.
Without objection, the citations appearing on today's calendar are approved. That brings us to unfinished business. Is there unfinished business to come before the Senate? Senator Kelly.
Mr. President, I noticed in my pending file there's a couple of bills here. I know that we laid a large number of bills on the Secretary's desk at the end of last session. Did we pull all of them off, or is there any bills pending in the Secretary's possession?
I don't know the answer to that question, Madam Secretary.
There are two bills left in the pending file from last year.
Would the members take a look at those bills so that we can take action or make a conscious decision as to what we intend to do? I don't have that file, I don't think. Could we stand at ease? Will the Senate please come back to order? Senator Kelly, thank you for the question. I had not looked at those bills. The first bill was the capital matching grant program that was dealt with in another bill. The second bill was the exploration incentive credit thing. I think the capital matching grant bill is probably just going to stay there. There is apparently some compromise in the exploration licensing bill. So at this point, we will leave both of those bills on the desk. But I expect that at least Senate Bill 150, there will be action to amend it, and I would make sure that we notify everybody. It's not something that'll come back to us on the calendar, so everybody needs to know that if we're going to consider that bill on a given day, it will be noticed as if it were going to come on the calendar in some way so that everybody knows what's going on. Senator Cotulla?
Mr. President, the expiration licensing bill is of immense importance to the state. I, for one, would expect that you will have some public hearings in the committee system for any amendments that are suggested, because I think they're substantially different from the bill that was brought to us.
Senator Cotulla, if the differences are that substantial, we will go back through the committee process. I haven't researched exactly.
I just hear rumor. I don't know myself.
I don't know either.
I know there are lobbyists for ARCO seem to be interest in these changes, and we're, you know, in opposition to this legislation as it finally appeared. I'd like to know what those changes are. I think you would, frankly, and I'd certainly like to know what can be estimated to be a result of the change. I doubt if we'll do it on the floor very well. Thank you.
Yeah, the bill is on reconsideration, and I hesitated to send it back to committee because of that. But whatever process we use, and if we have to send it back, I don't object to that, but whatever process we use will be with adequate notice that we're going to deal with it, and everybody will know what's going on well ahead of time.
Again, Mr. President, I appreciate that. The one problem we have is that each one of us have our own areas of expertise, and indeed we have them. Sometimes they're unique. But in this whole area, the people that have the real expertise in this area won't be allowed to speak on the floor, so, you know, it just loses something in transition.
Yeah.
I mean, there may be somebody here that has it, but I normally would expect the people right in the industry to have that expertise in the administration. So that's where we lose it
and not having a committee. Pardon me for delaying this, but you understand that well. But
your point's well taken, Senator Petula. I believe we were under unfinished business, were we not? Senator Duncan.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would move and ask unanimous consent that I be excused from a call of the Senate evening plain time on January 24th through all day Tuesday, January 25th. We'll be back on the late evening plane on the 25th.
Sure. Without objection, Senator Duncan will be excused as requested. Senator Donnelly.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, last year we used a procedure that I was unfamiliar with. I hadn't seen used before, and that's the motion to lay items on the Secretary's desk. And I found it rather confusing because, unlike the pending file or something, we didn't really have a list of what could come back off the Secretary's desk at any particular time. Some of those things were in, had been voted on once and were available for final passage almost immediately by a motion to take off the desk. I was wondering if this year, if there's going to be some list that could be maintained on that subject. Are we going to be doing that procedure again this year? I'd like some sort of warning when those things are going to be coming back so I could have an idea to review them, especially since it's been a year since we looked at them last now.
As members know, the House has what they call a limbo file, and the Senate lays things on the desk to try and give people a chance to look at them before they vote on them. But particularly when we're dealing with last year's bills, I don't, as Senator Kelly's question points out, I was not watching those two bills and had to get into these to find out. At this point, I think we should get the Secretary to give us a list of anything that's available in that status. In the end of the session, although I'm not particularly satisfied with the way the House handles their limbo file or the way we put things on the table, essentially, I don't know what else you can do when you have bills coming back and forth and you're trying to get to the sponsor to know if the House amendment is something that they support or don't support. But I'm certainly open to suggestions as to how to make that work better. The time that we'll have the problem will be the end of the session, but now's the time to figure out a system if we can make it work better. The Secretary says there's an updated list in the file every day. Now, is that on every member's desk?
Is that in the pending file? See, I don't see it in my pending file. Is it in another file too?
They were in your files at the beginning of session yesterday, Senator.
Rather than do this while we're in session, I will try to get an analysis of what's there, and your concern is well taken, and we'll try and deal with it. Senator Salo.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would like to serve notice of reconsideration of my vote on the Committee on Committees report.
Senator Taylor?
Well, I don't think that's available for reconsideration since the action has already taken place and you've assumed the duties and obligations of the rule chair. It's been adopted.
Could we stand at ease?
I don't. We keep generating more.
Senate, please come back to order. There has been a notice of reconsideration on the Committee on Committees report, and will the Secretary note that? I'm going to say that that is in order. That's a call you could make either way. You could say that the report, once the office is accepted, is no longer available for reconsideration, but frankly, it doesn't really matter, and we'll just go through further debate tomorrow if members want to make the debate, and that's fine with me. So the reconsideration is noted. Are we still under unfinished business? Have we gotten to announcements yet? We're still under unfinished business. Senator Lincoln.
Mr. President, I don't believe that the prayer has been spread across the journal, and I would so move to do that.
Thank you, Senator. Without objection, Senator Lincoln has moved the prayer be spread on the journal. That brings us to announcements. Senator Phillips.
Mr.
President, Legislative Budget and Audit will be meeting at 3:30 tomorrow afternoon, House Finance Room. We have a large agenda with a lot of items. I appreciate the members to be there on time, and if we need be, we'll recess tomorrow night, go on into Friday to finish up our business. We have lots of RPLs, audits, presentation about the permanent fund, and the oil contracts presentation by the Department of Law and Department of Revenue. So I'd appreciate the members to be there promptly.
Thank you, Senator. Further announcements? Senator Duncan?
Yes, I do. I don't have the information before me, but I just want to remind members of the body of the community reception tonight. I think it's 5:30 to 7. Senator Phillips is taking care of us down here in Juneau this year. I'm pleased to report. 5:37 in Centennial Hall, and everyone's invited. And then we come up and listen to a very inspiring State of the State address.
Are there further announcements? If there are no further announcements, that brings us to special orders. Senator Taylor?
We're done with special orders.
We're down to special orders.
No, are we done, is what I said, with special orders.
Yes.
Good. Then I'd move and ask unanimous consent the Senate stand in recess until 8 p.m. tonight for the joint session in the House chamber.
Without objection, the Senate stands in recess until 8 p.m. at the House chambers. Let's try and get there at 7:55. Will the Senate please come back to order? Senator Taylor.
And adjournment till 11 a.m. Wednesday.
Which is tomorrow.
I guess.
Without objection, we're adjourned until 11 a.m. tomorrow.